6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Revived Thoughts is a production of Revive Studios.
This is Troy Angel, and you are listening to Revive Thoughts.
Today, we have another Revived conversation coming your direction. This was going to be a Revive Thoughts sermon, but, you know, we kept looking at it a little bit more. So this is an article by Richard Baxter?
So this, from what I can tell, I originally thought, oh, this is a cool sermon, but it didn't take long to realize. When I say it didn't take long, it took half a second of looking at it to realize this is a pamphlet.
This was 100% a pamphlet back in the day. In today's era, it strikes more of like a listicle that you'd find online, but totally back in the day, this was a pamphlet. 1673 is when this was published here. We're going to talk about it. It's titled Directions for Amusement and Recreation, which is just rolls off the tongue. Very, very clickbaity article headline there. Directions for Amusement and Recreation.
You're right next to four ways you can, you know, save on your summer spending. Right. And then next to that was Directions for Amusement and Recreation.
Troy, you sound a bit different here. Could it be the sweet air of America that I'm hearing coming through your inferior mic over there?
Yeah, so we are currently in the Tennessee office, which is to say we are in Tennessee and I'm in a room, and so it's the Tennessee office. And we told everyone we're normally in Indonesia, if you're a new listener, and my wife and I, Elise, who runs Martyrs and Missionaries. However, we are not in Indonesia currently. We are back for the summer doing support raising and stuff like that. And I wanted to say, we put up an episode a couple weeks ago. If you haven't listened to it, you know, feel free to go do it, but it was on behind the scenes of what missionaries go through that they normally don't tell you because they're trying to, you know, raise support from you and stuff. And Elise was very nervous to put that episode out. I was a little bit nervous too, because it was a very personal episode. Normally we're telling you the lives of great people who lived. We love what we do, but it's not personal. But this was actually our thoughts and feelings. And we have heard unbelievable amounts of feedback from you all. We have gotten so many emails, messages, Instagram comments, Spotify comments, which I didn't even know was a thing until we started getting them. All kinds of ways that you could reach out to us. You guys have done so and encouraged us. We've heard from several of you who have asked us to come and visit your churches and different things like that. So it's been really, really cool to see the different ways that this episode reached out to people. And a lot of people saying they didn't know what it was really like, and that was exactly what we were kind of hoping for. So thank you so much for that. Now we are in Tennessee, and our
little bit of a furlough there for 2 months, is it now?
It's not fully a furlough, because furlough is usually a little longer, but it's a little rest break before we go back out for another couple years.
Mini furlough. For those who don't know, Troy and his wife teach Bible in Indonesia there. And Troy is far too humble to promote it, but I will promote him. If you do want to give towards their missions teaching that they do out of there, please write in revivethoughts@gmail.com. And Troy can follow up with the best ways you can donate towards their work they do there. Troy, we also have supporters of Revive Thoughts on the show. We have some new Patreons that we can shout out.
Yeah,
here.
We do.
I'm not quite sure when the last one we called out, but I'm going to go back to April here. We got Gene supporting us. Deb and Delana all supporting us recently here. Thank you so much for being a part of Revive Thoughts, helping make Revive Thoughts and Martyrs and Missionaries happen. These shows, again, could not exist without supporters like you. And it's super encouraging us to see people voting with their wallet that they like this content and want to see want to see Revive Thoughts stay on the air. So we really appreciate that.
We do appreciate it. It goes a long way. And we will say, if you wonder how Revive Thought stuff works, Joel and I don't take money from this for, you know, going out to eat or anything like that. The money goes into buying equipment and making all this stuff work.
Yeah. And then we don't get paid a penny out of any of the income from Revive Thoughts. It fully goes into benefiting the show.
And then the other side of it too is if you listen to the ads, the ad revenue is not what the bulk of the support of the show comes from. Really, the bulk of the support of the show comes from those of you who are on Patreon. And we are extremely grateful to those of you who say, hey, I'll send you guys a couple bucks a month to keep making these shows that edify the church. It's really, really cool that many of you have chosen to do that for us.
Yes.
All right. So let's jump into this topic. I'm really excited about this topic, Joel. As Joel said, originally it was going to be a sermon, and it's not a sermon, but it was too good to pass up. And I was telling Joel, I said, we got to do something with this one. And Joel, you seemed immediately on board with it. Directions for Amusement and Recreation. But what Richard Baxter, who was living in the 1600s, 17th century, was really talking about is how do you use your free time? And I think this is a really interesting topic. And this is actually one of the first time I think I've ever seen. I can think of a D.L. Moody sermon that talked about this too. This is probably one of the first time in 4 years that we've ever had somebody just kind of tackle what ends up being, I think, a large part of many of our lives, which is what do you do with that time when you're not working, you're not sleeping, you know, you're not eating, you're not at church, that giant gap in between of time that we all have. How are you supposed to use it?
Yeah, and we'll link it in the show notes below. So it's a real short read. It's literally, again, it kind of comes across as an article. It's kind of broken into three sections where he's asking questions. He's prompting the reader to think about their own lives and how they use their free time in that. So if you're in a safe place and you're curious about what these bullet points are, you can click through the link in the description to pull up this article here. This is something that...
When Joel says safe place, I think he means on the road, not like this is a really risque article. You get in trouble or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, don't click on it while you're driving is what I was trying to say.
That's what Joel, I think, is. I don't think he was like, this is, watch out, this Richard Baxter article will get you in trouble at work. I don't think so.
No, yeah, thanks for clarifying. I don't know if it needed clarification, but in case it did, we have our clarification now. This is one of those things where, you know, when I first started reading through it, I don't know, you kind of roll your eyes at it a little bit and you go, oh boy, Richard Baxter, you are pretty, pretty hardcore here, pretty conservative with your thinking here. But I tell you, by the end of the article, I was like, you know, he's got great points here. He's on to something. I really think so. Mm-hmm. It's also fascinating because it seems like, you know, this is almost 400 years old. And it seems like by the way it's written, it seems like going to the theater and playing sports or participating in watching sports was like brand new. Like it seems like that is the thing. Like I imagine like society before this, I think of like, you know, people coming out of the medieval era, you know, and Renaissance is just starting to flourish. And so people are coming from what used to be a very hard life where they're working in the fields all day just to stay alive and just to have a living, to where now there is luxuries of what you can do with your free time. Like you can go to the theater and watch some shows. You can go root for your favorite sports team that's playing. And he talks about it like it's this new emerging way to live. And I found that aspect of it really fascinating because that is what Netflix and watching sports is a part of most people's lives in today's day and age. And he's got some great challenges, I feel like, to be like, what are we doing with all of our free time? Is that the best use of our free time type of thing? That I found, I don't know. I did find it pretty convicting, at least when he's talking about, and we'll jump into it a little bit here. We're not going to read through, you know, everything verbatim. But he has one of those, let me see if I can find, I'm going to scroll down and actually see where he's talking about like budgeting your time well. Try to determine just how much and what sort of recreation is needful to you in particular in respect to bodily strengths, to your mind, to your type of work. Like he's going through all these lists to be like, everyone needs to be able to relax. We get that. But like how much relaxation is too much relaxation? Like you got like budget your time out. Like you got to,
yeah.
if you're just any free time you have is you're indulging in the gratification of entertainment, then, which is what most of us do. Like if you think about our life, when we get off work, like all we want to do is be entertained. We want to catch up on our shows, catch up on the sports games, whatever it may be. We fill the time where we're not being forced to work with entertainment. And he's saying like, we should budget our time a little bit better to where, like, imagine instead of going to the theater every night, you budgeted some time to minister to friends, you know, brought some gifts over to some friends or found ways to serve the community around you and things like that. Like that'd probably be a better use of your time, isn't it? In a way that, I did totally find convicting where like, you know, instead of watching 3 hours of content, just watch 1 hour of content and then think of a way you can serve with the other two or something like that.
I completely agree. What was interesting to me is, you know, you mentioned it's 350 years ago. It's 350 years ago and people have the same problem back then as they do today. They want to watch something. They want to go enjoy a show. They don't, you know, back then you'd get dressed and you'd go to the theater, but you're still watching a show, right? You're seeing the performances. And today, you know, you would maybe turn on your TV or you turn on your computer. It's easier, but it's the same thing. And the same way he said sports, you're getting over there and you're recreating with your time sports too much. You're doing these different things. And what was interesting to me is just like how little we have changed. And when we had a D.L. Moody sermon, one of our very first sermons in our show, D.L. Moody's sermon on temptation, he kind of talked about the same thing where he's like, there's the plays, there's the newspapers, and there's recreation and sports. He's like, those are the three things that distract you from God the most. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny to me that even 200 years before Moody said it, we have Baxter saying almost the same exact thing. I think that we as humans are just programmed to want to use our free time on these things that we enjoy. And I think it's really easy for us to look down on other people's recreational activities and go, you know, I'm not me personally. I don't get really excited watching sports. So it's really easy for me to look at somebody who, you know, watches sports all the time. You're like, what a waste of your time. But then I might be more interested in watching a good TV show or reading a book maybe that's not worth my time, things of that nature. And then someone else would look at me and go, you know, why are you doing that when you could be doing that? It's so easy, I think, for each of us to kind of find that thing that someone else does and go, why, you know, I might look down on someone playing video games and they might look down on someone who listens to too much music. They shouldn't. Everyone's got this thing that they enjoy that is easy to look down on others, but we have something that we're doing as well with our free time that's not new. It's 400 years old, at least from what we're looking at with Richard Baxter. And yet we do have to ask the question, should we use that time, our free time, that time in between of our works to honor God? And I will say one of the things I think that I find interesting is, you know, in the Twitter world, when you're on social media, and social media definitely would be one of the ones for me where if you're going to get me, I can justify my time on Twitter or other social medias by saying, well, I'm growing the podcast, I'm getting more followers, and these people check out our content, which is true. But that doesn't mean every time I pull up Twitter on my phone, that's what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm just on Twitter on my phone because I have a headache or something like that. And yeah, at the same time, whenever I poke a button, if I put up a meme attacking sending your kids to sports instead of church, or if I put up a meme that makes, you know, a comment on watching too many movies or video games, I'll get more heat and I'll get more reactions and it'll give me more engagement and it will get way more interest on that than if I put up a meme attacking like a direct sin of the day. You know, if I were to attack abortion, no one's going to touch that because everyone either agrees or disagrees and there's really not that much thought. And most Christians are like, yeah, abortion's bad. So that means it's not going to get a lot of love. But boy, if I put up a meme that says like, hey, if you take your kids out of church every Sunday for sports, they're probably going to grow up to not follow God, which I did put that one up one time. Oh man, we got like 100 comments and people were fighting all over it because that one hits closer to home. Our free time and our recreational activities, I think, really do hit a lot of us in our personal identity, where it's, you know, it's one thing for me to make a moral stance. I can stand for that or not, or agree or disagree or not. But it's something about when you go after people's personal, you know, their personal idols, their personal free time, how they use them. That's where I find people tend to get most invested and honestly, a lot of ways they can get in their most angry. So I wanted to look at a few of these questions from this article. So if you do pull up the article, you can look it up. You're in a safe space to do that. Let's look at these questions and just kind of talk about them a little bit. What was fascinating to me about this was just how relevant they are today. Think of all the things that have changed since the 1600s. I mean, the Americas have been completely discovered, and we have internet, we have airplanes, we've had World War I or World War II. Yet these questions feel like they could have been found in a pulpit today about how we spend our free time. First one, do you think that either Christ or his apostles used stage plays or similar entertainments and amusements, or ever sanctioned or encouraged addiction to them? Now, the only thing I think that wouldn't work today is saying stage plays, right? But if you replace that with Netflix, if you replace that with YouTube channels, if you replace that with TikTok, or you replace that with video games, and you ask yourself the question.
Sports games, yeah.
Yeah. And you ask yourself the question, did Jesus Christ and his apostles, do you imagine them sitting around playing Super Mario at night? Or do you imagine them hanging around making TikToks together? And if not, even if they did, do you think they would encourage or sanction, you know, addiction to them, where you're spending a massive amount of time to them? I mean, that's a tough question. I actually asked that question one time on Twitter. I said, you know, do you think Jesus would have used Twitter? And I could kind of put a yes or no poll, and it was very divided. People could not decide whether or not they could figure out whether they thought Jesus would use Twitter or not. I think overall the poll said no, but it was like a 60-40 divide. So it was not clear cut one way or the other.
Yeah. The other thing about this is I think it's really interesting to see his harsh language that he uses against these things. Like in that first bullet point, you know, imagine a church sanctioning or encouraging addiction to entertainment like this, you know, whether, and again, my brain goes to, again, sports games, because that's a very common thing to talk about in church is, I don't know, Troy and I, probably not the most applicable to talk to this stuff, because we were never big sports guys in Bible college. We were the nerdy ones that no one could talk sports with about, because we didn't know anything about sports. But it's pretty common.
They asked us, like, did you see LePage hit that home run? And I'm like, who did the what? What does that mean? Yeah.
what sport are we talking about?
it's
pretty
tennis?
Common to have. Pretty common to have pastors from the pulpit, you know, promote their sports teams or what games are going. And I'm not saying there's anything, you know, inherently wrong about that. But when you see him taking such an aggressive stance against, you know, you're encouraging addiction to these entertainments, that, you know, it I can see where he's coming from as well here. The next bullet point he gives here, does your conscience tell you when your delight is more in your amusement than it is in God? Such recreations, those we love more than God, in no way increase our delight in God, but take away from it. So he's saying, you know, these things that we spend a lot of time doing, are they in any way increasing our delight in God, or are they taking away from it? Another question he has here.
Actually,
yeah,
I was going to stop on that one for a second, because I've heard a lot of people talk about how do you spend your free time and what do you enjoy? And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, look, if you enjoy this thing that much, you need to give it up because it's distracting you from enjoying mm-hmm. God. It makes a lot of sense. Like if I'm playing 5 hours of video games a night and I love video games, I'm a big video game guy, and someone goes, hey, but that's clearly a sign that you love it more than God. You need to give it up because of that. Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense, but I personally have not heard anybody put it in those terms of like the fact that you love it so much, the fact that it has such a hold on your life, is exactly the reason you kind of need to give it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he reiterates this in question number three here. Do you bestow as much time in prayer and reading the Word of God and meditating on it as you do in your sports and recreations? Do you not know the value of those precious hours which you play away? That's a mic drop line right there. That's pretty good. Do you not know the precious hours the value of those precious hours that you play away?
That could be a book title or something. Yeah. I feel like that is a statement that needs to be heard far and wide, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It definitely helps you maybe reprioritize how you time out, how you plan out your free time. You know, I feel like my default is like, okay, if I, you know, I have a Saturday free, I'll spend, you know, 20, 30 minutes having a Devo, and the rest of it, I can do whatever I want. You know, I'll exercise, play some video games, I'll watch some shows online or whatever it may be. And he's just challenging you to, again, maybe reconsider the priority list, or again, just more mindfully budget out what you can do with that time, and maybe think of ways that you could use that time that increases your delight in God more than not doing that, more than taking that away.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
I like this next question. Would you want to be found at stage plays or vain amusements when death comes? Would you not rather be found at something holy or profitable, right? And there's this story, I don't remember who it was, but Elise had this person who they kind of knew they were going to die. It was in Martyrs and Missionaries early episode. And this person like spent their last day on earth just praying the entire way through the day, and said it was like some of their best communion with God. And they wrote it in their journal and they were like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to die tomorrow. And they did. Another example is George Whitefield was found dead, like, you know, in his prayer closet, or he was in his prayer closet for like 6 hours. And then he came out and chatted with people and was like, yeah, I'm pretty much going to die. And then like within half an hour, he died. David Livingstone was found dead, you know, kneeling at his bed. And we look at those stories and we hear those people who did that and we go, wow, that's incredible. It's not that you're like not saved if you're found at the movie theater, you know, or leaned over your video game console. But doesn't it sound a lot less cool if that's where they found you? You know, he died doing what he loved in the middle of like a 9-hour.
No one's
going
to tell that story
to
your descendants. Yeah.
And so there is something, and the idea is, okay, well, I'm not going to die. I'm pretty young or something, maybe. But the idea is, if this isn't what you'd want to be found doing as you're dying, is it what you want to be doing while you're living? Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, another one of those questions where you hear that, you think about death for a minute, and you go, man, watching this YouTube video of whatever this is for 30 minutes sounds less exciting when I think about what if I passed away and this is what they found me doing. Is that, you know, you can obviously take that to an extreme, but I thought it was a good question.
Yeah, and he reiterates that in this next question. He asks, will it be any comfort to you when you are dying to think about the time in which you spent in plays and vanities? In plays, meaning like, you know, like stage plays. So, I mean, again, we would replace that with TV shows. Essentially, you know, if you're on your deathbed, you're probably not going to be thinking about that show that you were excited to watch. Yeah. Or, you know, like you're going to be thinking about what, you know, regretting or wishing you did, or maybe proud of different parts of your life. But these, he calls them vanities here, things that we sink our time into that have no eternal value. Those are things that are not going to register in the scale of eternity. And so again, he's asking you to think of that aspect of life.
Well, you use yourself as an example. I'll use myself here. Like, you know, I don't think on my deathbed I'm going to be, you know, as I'm laying dying, thinking of coming to the Lord, I'm going to be thinking, man, I should have tweeted a few more times. Mm-hmm. I should have, you know, watched a few more YouTube shorts or, you know, something like that. Like, that's not, I don't think anybody's going to be a quick, you know, son and daughter. I see the golden gates. Fetch me my phone. There's a few more shorts I could have put. That's not going to happen, right? We're going to get to those pearly gates and we're going to be with our family. And I think this is not new. We're not saying anything we haven't heard before, but Richard Baxter is just reiterating that in those final moments, you're going to think, man, I wasted so much time. I wish I'd spent it pouring into you, my children, you, my spouse, you, the people around me that I love. And I regret having spent so much of my time playing away. Dare you pray to God to bless your sports and amusements to the good of your soul or body? Wouldn't your conscience tell you that this would mock God? I don't know fully what he means by this. I've heard people pray for their sports team to win the game or something like that. I think
that's what he's meaning. That does sound like
Baxter is saying, are you mocking God with this? Like, come on, God does not care that much about your games and those things that you're playing with. And some of you might be hearing this and going, it sounds to me like Baxter is a real killjoy. Baxter was a pretty cool guy. He lived an amazing life and has a lot of great things to write. I really enjoy, if you've never read the Saints Rest and Everlasting, I think it is, it's a really good book. He is a pretty intense guy. He's like one of those guys like Jonathan Edwards, where he lived his life really intensely on fire for God. But I do have to point out, isn't that the goal? Like, as Christians, I want to live an intense life. I want to live a life that leads an impact, that people 400 years later can look at me and read my work and go, man, this guy really was on fire for God. And when I read Richard Baxter, that's what I see. And so, yeah, it is a little intense, but he would tell you, man, praying for God for your team to win, that's a mockery, which is interesting because 400 years later, we're still doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we don't think of it in that way. You know, there's, again, lots of people that, again, I've heard pastors from the pulpit, you know, jokingly pray about their sports team for that day.
Yeah.
It's not the way we think about things in today's day and age. He has a whole nother section on here where he offers counsel for choosing how to spend your time, right? So he's got like 7 points that he makes, instructions, you know, like as a follow-up. And he says, try normally to join profit and pleasure together, that you lose no time. It is a sin to idle away any time in which can be turned into a better count. So he's essentially saying, you know, if you're going to be doing something that is going to waste time and have no benefit, try to think of a way that you could add some benefit to it. You know, like, I don't know. The way I think of that is like, if you could play a game by yourself, or maybe include some people and play games with, you know, some other people as well. You can socialize. I don't know. The application for that could be endless, but he's just challenging you to try to say, hey, if there is no eternal value to what you're doing, is there a way you can incorporate something that makes it have a little bit more value than what it does without it?
I know a lot of coaches who try to bring, you know, make using their time in sports because they spend many hours with kids and or the team, and they use that to disciple and to try to bring the Bible in. I think those people can sometimes be very effective in other ways. Other groups of people struggle to be as effective because they have so much one-on-one time with people. So that's not to say that, you know, that you can't use these things per se. He's just saying, if you're going to, make sure that is your intention. Another one of his, you know, helpful counsels was avoid the companies of revelers, lovers of pleasure, and similar time wasters. Come not among them, lest you be ensnared. Usually amusements rate as foolishness to serious people, and they say of this happiness, as Solomon, it is madness. It is great in serious subjects, which make serious men. This one is, I think, actually a really good piece of advice. If you're a person who's, you know, addicted to video games, addicted to TV, or find that you're always talking about it, take serious stock of the people around you. And is it the reason, part of the reason you do that is because everyone around you is talking about those things and they're always doing it too. And you might realize, you know, I'm having a hard time breaking this problem because I'm genuinely surrounded by it. Mm-hmm. Another example is I spend a lot of time on social media for, you know, putting out the podcast and stuff like that. And because of that, I started following a lot of Christian pages and a lot of different Christian groups and a lot of, you know, all these different groups. And I found that my time on social media became actually much more edifying when I started following things that were Christ honoring. It sounds so simple. And yet I had spent, you know, a decade on social media and had never thought to just follow a bunch of Christian pages and a bunch of Christian theologians and a bunch of those things. And now, even when I'm getting on Twitter or getting on Facebook or somewhere like that, I'm still seeing discussions about Jesus Christ and I'm still seeing memes and jokes that relate to God. And so even that time where I may be looking at my phone too much, it's not that it's okay because it's God honoring, but at least it's not just trash, right? At least it's stuff, you know, I'm thinking about higher things. And I think that makes it a little bit better. So there are ways that you can take those time wasters, and you sometimes have to look at it and go, man, this, you know, the part of the reason I'm having trouble breaking this problem is because my feed or my friends are all a part of the same thing. And I need to get some new Christian friends to get around, or I need to get a better feed following some more Christian things. You might be looking at your life and going, part of the reason I'm having trouble with this addiction is because I need to get with some people at the church and find out what they're doing on the Sundays and Saturdays and spend more time with them.
You're a product of your environment. You know, you're a product of what's around you and what surrounds you. So if that's what needs to be addressed, then that's what needs to be addressed.
I have a story actually on this. There was a guy at who was a former student at the school I'm at, and he was a big video gamer, huge, he said. And he said that when he went to college, he purposely went out of his way not to make friends with anybody who played video games. He told all his friends on the Discord, you know, log me off. Don't let me in anymore. Don't invite me to games anymore. I need to break this addiction. And he said when he got to college, if he met somebody, he said, oh, you seem really cool, but I see that you're a big video gamer. I know you'll lead me down that path, so I need to get away from that. And he said he's no longer even closely, you know, remotely a video game addict anymore.
Wow.
But he said it was just that. He had to cut off the sources of it, where it was all around him, because it was so much for him, the community of all the people that were in on it together. And it was so easy to say, oh, I'm going to read a book tonight. And then you get that invite to the game. And he just found himself, he couldn't stop himself. Once he cut himself out, he said it was no longer a temptation.
That's extreme. His next one here: be zealous and apply yourself to your calling and spiritual service. Laziness breeds a love of amusement. When you must please your flesh with ease, then it must be further pleased with vanities. Which those are fighting words. Like that's just straight up insults. That like I feel like that's how a bar fight would start if he was insulting you and he says, "Hey, laziness breeds a love for amusement. That's why you're here, is because you're lazy." And so that the first part of that line was be zealous and apply yourself for the calling of spiritual service. He's encouraging you to be proactive. Like, hey, like you're put on this earth to do something. Use that time to do something. If you're just being lazy, that is going to breed a love for amusement, an addiction to seek out amusement. And when you must please your flesh with ease, with relaxation, that's going to only further cyclically invite more vanities into your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say in my own life, this was true. I used to be a huge TV show. I mean, I'd watch tons of shows every night. It was very normal for me, especially in college, to just watch a lot of shows. And I was very plugged into TV and stuff. And it took years of just kind of not wanting to and working at it. But whenever I had like a stressful day, a long day at work or tired or whatever, I would just, oh, I'm too tired. I just need to watch a show. I want to do this thing. Like it just became this thing. And over the years of filtering out, my wife and I, we hardly ever watch shows. And I find that I don't crave that show, you know, at night anymore. I have a long day and my immediate feeling isn't, oh, I need to pull up something to watch and turn my time off. I do think a lot of people don't want to admit it. And I think it hurts us to admit it. But it was true in my life that there was some of that where just having that thing that I turned my brain off, having that thing that I amused myself with made me lazy, made me not want to work hard, made me not want to. And whenever I had a hard time, I needed that crutch. I needed to go back to it to kind of get that back in my life. Maybe you heard that and you're going, hey, that's not me. But I think some of us, it is true. This is something that it's a fact that if we were working harder, we just wouldn't have time for these addictions and things. If you were actually getting out there and ministering to your neighbors, sharing the gospel like the Lord has called us to, you know, you're fully involved in your church, you're reading some good books, and you're doing the many, many things that help grow you in your walk with God and spending deep time in prayer, you might not have as much time for those shows, those YouTube channels, and those things that it's so desperately call out to us, I think. And likewise, if you have time for all of those pleasures, you are probably not making as much time for the spiritual things that God has called us to. It hurts to hear it, but I think it's just true for many of us. Mm-hmm. I know it was true for me. I hear people will ask you, I don't know if you ever get asked this, Joel, you're a videographer, so I imagine it does come up sometimes, but people will say, you know, how do you find time to work these full-time jobs and also do this podcast and also do this and this? You know, where do you find the time? And I go, I don't know. But I do know that for me, I used to have a lot less time when I was watching a lot of TV or when I was spending a lot of time just staring at my phone, and pulling those things out of my life and turning those times into more productive times have been a lot of helpfulness in that area.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think that's a good overview. I think that's going to do it. Again, if it sparked your interest, check out the link in the description to the fascinating headline article, Directions for Amusement and Recreation by Richard Baxter, published in 1673. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to, again, just kind of apply it to your own life, kind of do a on the fly updating, revision, you know, modernization of what he's saying there. Because if you read it literally verbatim, it sounds silly. But if you try to figure out how it applies to your life, I think he makes some very interesting points. And I was convicted by it.
Yeah, I'd be curious if you're listening, feel free to write in or leave a comment or send us a message somewhere. Tell us, you know, how well do you pass his test? You know, and you can tell us, hey, I don't think his test, whatever, he's 400 years ago. Was, you know, I can't imagine you listen to this show if that's your opinion. But I'd be curious how well you passed. I'll say this. I don't think I passed his test. Like, I think there are definitely areas where I failed in these questions or in what he thought was lawful or unlawful. I'm curious if you're listening, you know, go through the 16 things he says is lawful for you. Would you pass that test? Or is there some areas you need to go? You know, people are always looking for ways to kind of check themselves and do an insight check or, you know, do an introspection. I think directions for amusements and recreation. With a name like that, you got to make that your new introspection list, because you might find there's some areas where you've been slacking, and I think Baxter can call you on them.
Alrighty, until the next episode, thank you so much for tuning in to a revived conversation.
Yeah, this has been a great one. Feel free to send this to a slacker in your life. No, I'm just kidding. Feel free to share this episode, though, if you thought it was interesting. This is Troy and Joel. This is Revived Thoughts.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free Select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.